And what happens as you get your mind focused in is you get to the point where you begin to see the separate thoughts starting to arise, exist, and pass away. Arise, exist, and pass away. Arise, exist, and pass away. And sometimes you only see the arising of thoughts. You see them all, everywhere you look, it comes into play. Those of you that have taken drugs may recognize that, that moment where it's what Christ said, and he says, look, I'm making all things new. It's like you're creating the universe. Everywhere you look, you see that you are creating stuff. You're not creating the thing. You are creating the form of it by your mind creating, going out and doing it. And you see the creation everywhere. That's the seeing the beginning of thoughts. Then there's another place where you're just focusing on the middle of thoughts, and it's like nothing ever is going to change. It's all static. Everything's stopped. Everywhere you look, it's stopped. It's like nothing's happening. It's all stopped. And then the third stage is where you see everything dying and decaying and falling away. And everywhere you look, it's decaying and dying, decaying and dying. And it gets, that's what it feels like. Tremendous despair and pain. Now, these are all stages, and they're articulated in the literature, and it's very standard stuff. And the teacher is a person who's been listening to human minds for 35 years, and he knows exactly what stage you're at when you walk in and say, this happened in my meditation. And he just sees a walking mind. I don't know what he sees, but I mean, that's what he's dealing with, is a walking mind. And he keeps moving you through. And Buddha describes, for example, the last 32 mind moments, trillion per blink of an eye, the last 32 before you go into the nibbanic state, which is the space between two thoughts. Because between two thoughts, there is no universe. What's called the void, or nibbana. And it's the ground on which all the forms and thoughts rest. It's the sky in which all the clouds are passing. And as you start to deal with that state in your being, you're finally doing what I started out talking about recognizing the part of you that is not conceptual, the part of you that is not informed. And look at what a circuitous route. Sitting in Burma, in the cell, bringing the mind, following the breath, getting the mind down to one point, sharpening it so it becomes like a laser, so it can go through, so it doesn't keep being at the whim of conceptual mind until you can get through, and you can go through until you get what's called the vipassana jnanas, or the insights that follow naturally. Because all the things that the Buddha teaches about suffering and the cause of suffering and the end of suffering, the things he teaches about anicca, or everything's changing, dukkha, that there is suffering, anatta, there's no self, all that stuff you can learn theoretically, conceptually, by reading philosophy books of Buddhism. Or, but what Buddha says is, don't read them, do it. You find out like I found out, because finally you're only free when you've experienced the stuff directly, not when you've just read about it.